This is a unique one because we're talking about the worship life of young people. Kristen Getty has had a ministry in teaching children Bible truth through songs, and we are her children's group today. And you please help me welcome Kristen Getty.
Thank you very much. When I first came in earlier for Keith's lecture, I just saw all these men in suits, and I thought, oh my goodness, are they going to be here for this kid's lecture? Are they going to do all the motions when I ask them to do it? It's a few more ladies, but still men, and I hope you, this is a different lecture to what Keith has done. The majority of the time will be spent on learning new songs and doing motions to them. So if you're, I hope you don't mind that, you know. Is that all right? Great. Okay, you have a book in front of you, and we're going to use songs from out of that. It's the most recent project that Keith and I have been involved in. But just to begin, a little bit of background. I have been being involved in children's music and singing my whole life. My dad's a pastor, and my mom looked after all the children's stuff. And we started with something called a boogie box, which was two cassette players, you know, and you'd use split level tapes, and then you had a little microphone, and you stood with the kids at our special event called Kids Biz, double Z at the end. Very, very exciting. We sang salty songs. We did Hallelujah Hop. Are these familiar to you? As I did whenever I was younger. So growing up in the church singing, I remember whenever I was little, there was one Sunday that all the adults were singing a song that went, I exalt thee. Do you remember that song? Yeah. And I thought to myself, why are they eating salty? I didn't understand it at all. I had complete confusion. I ate salty. Just a little note, we'll do more stories like that because we know that when it comes to children's music, there's all sorts of confusions that can happen accidentally. I became a Christian at the age of 4. But I remember that it was around 8 years old that it really began to click for me, that I got real excited about my faith. I could really see it impacting my friends at school, how I did my work. I had a badge that said, I love Jesus on it, and I can remember really, really meaning it when my teacher asked me. So something had awoken in me of suddenly realizing that Jesus was my friend. And it is an amazing thing that children at such a young age can really engage with that and understand Jesus as their friend and Savior that they can follow. So this first song that I want to do with you is called Better Is One Day with Jesus. So it sort of captures some of that joy. It's the first song in the book. I will explain how the book works as we go along. But the first song... It's also track one.
Explain that this is not a gift to you.
Yeah, I wish it could be, but they cost money to make, as you can see, with this nice color.
There's a sale, but the one you're having belongs to her, right?
Yeah. Okay. So let's just play. Basically, the kids that are singing on this are aged about 9, 10, up to 15. I'd like to say that a lot of the songs are mostly for 7 to 11, although 7-11 songs? No. 7 to 11. Although younger ones can sing them. My mum is a kindergarten teacher, and they sing some of the songs. So really, it would be up to the teacher and dependent on the children as to which songs will really work. But this one should be quite general. So Better Is One Day with Jesus.
Can you help me with this? Louder.
Okay, you can shout if it's too loud. You go back to the beginning of the song there, sorry. There we go. These are Irish kids singing this, the Irish youth. So some of the pronunciation will come through. But that's okay. You want to listen to the first part? Beginning. So if you want to sing along, please do. Better Is One Day.
Better is one day with Jesus than a thousand on my own. Better is one hope in Jesus than a thousand.
then it goes back to singing it again. It's a very simple song. Obviously, those words, how wonderful, miraculous. You need to get the kids to do this before they sing them because they require quite a lot of movement there. And they love singing those words, especially the word incredible because of the recent movie, The Incredibles. It's very exciting. Just so you know, just keep you up to date. You probably all know better than me. Okay, you can turn that off. So that's the first song. We're doing more in a minute. I wanted just to talk a little bit about what we think about when we're writing songs. Now, the very, very practically, the very first project Keith and I ever worked on was with the African Children's Choir. Now, he'd been writing for years. I met him whenever I just finished high school, done a few months at a Bible school in England, and then came back home, and my uncle, who's a preacher, had heard me sing at church and suggested I go and meet this famous Keith Getty, the local Northern Irish hero. He had actually never heard of, would you believe? But don't tell him that. And he allowed me to call him. He's not back yet. He allowed me to call him and to go and meet him. So I went to his house and met him in his office. And he took me out for dinner, which is a huge deal because I was like 18 and no one ever took me out for dinner. But and he just seemed incredibly old. He was 24 at the time, and I just thought he was ancient. I can remember it so clearly. And he suggested to me, would you ever think of writing songs? And I hadn't really. I was going to be studying English literature. English was my favorite subject at school. Loved poetry. I was always writing little stories, but I'd never really thought about writing songs. And so he said, well, I've got this African Children's Choir project coming up. Would you like to try? So that was the first children's project. I worked solidly for several weeks, scared out of my mind that I wouldn't be able to do it. But we got a few of the songs in on that CD, and it was just the most wonderful experience sitting watching these African children singing some of these songs. And then I was hooked, you know. Now, we've written a lot of songs like that are for adults to sing. I've written a lot of performance songs. Some of those we'll be doing later on tonight. But we've kept up with the children's music. And you had asked me earlier on about...
I wanted to ask about your songwriting partnership with Keith, because he's got the backing partnership with
Stuart.
How does this work in your marriage?
Yeah. Keith has spoken a lot about his writing partnership with Stuart, but not maybe a lot about what it means to write with your wife. Very interesting. I guess you could probably fight a little bit more over which word you use and how a melody should go, because you can get away with it. But whenever I first met Keith, I was, you know, only 18, was just starting out as a writer. He was the great, you know, the great hero, the great guru, you know, that I was following, looking up to. And so, you know, basically what he said went. And as I got older, and then halfway through this friendship, it became a very different sort of relationship. I began to get a little bit more assertive. And there have been a few times that I have walked out of the room, slammed the door. And a few times where he's done the same, because it is really hard work. And whenever you're starting to write a song, you become incredibly vulnerable. You know, you write this line, you think, isn't this great? And Keith will say, you know, Kristen, it's not really. And you'll be gutted, or he'll do a melody and I'll think, you know, it's not really cool. And we come from two very different, you know, Keith's very, you know, he's classically trained. I grew up, you know, singing with a band. I was a pop musician and loved being like gigging and doing all that sort of stuff. So we sort of meet somewhere in the middle, you know. So I'm all about feeling it. I'm all about the groove. I'm all about how it's going to work. And Keith is a little bit more melodic than I would be, which is great. So that's sort of what we do. Is we try to write most mornings. Obviously, while we're on tour, we don't get as much chance to do that. And then the afternoons do more administrative stuff. But we would write mostly together. Keith and Stuart, they're sort of, you know, emailing, MP3ing all the time, meeting up every so often, you know. Keith and I live together, so it's a little bit more convenient. So we're always trying to write, and it's not all that bad. But yes, it's, as a husband and wife, it can be interesting, colourful. So anyway, we're going to do one of the songs that we did with the African Children's Choir. It's actually the next song. It's called He Is My Light. The chorus is very simple. The verses are probably slightly more complex, but yeah, we've done them with kids and there haven't been a problem. Obviously, the African Children's Choir range from 6 to 11 and they've done this fine, so depends on the kids. But anyway, let's play it. Thank you, Maestro. It's number 2, yeah? Yeah. Still different to the hymn, but that's okay. Start to the chorus. He is my light.
He is my light. He is my light.
With a big couple more, we'll get you up on your feet. We'll have to move for the video, and you can do all the actions. Beginning to reflect on the kids' music, I was realizing just how informative it could be in terms of who God is and about life, and how informative those songs that I learned when I was younger still are to me today. And so that idea, and also the applying the vision that Stuart and Keith have had for the hymn writing, you know, strong biblical content, singable melodies, this has really kept us in this area of music. We feel that if it's important for the adults and if it's important in what they sing and how that impacts what they believe in God, then it is also important for the children. So that's part of the ideas that we have. And one of the first kids' songs that we ever wrote, but was only recorded a couple of years ago, is called Store Up Good in Your Heart. And it is number 8. Number 8. And this is about how what goes into the heart affects what comes out. Okay. We called this also originally the click song because we clicked to it. Like this. You gonna click with me?
Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Cause what you keep inside is not gonna hide. So store up. Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Cause what you keep inside is not gonna hide. So store up good in your heart. It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are. All your words and deeds come straight from the heart. So what you put in there is worth it. So store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Cause what you keep inside is not gonna hide. So store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Cause what you keep inside is not gonna hide. So store up good in your heart. It's not what you think. It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are. All your words and deeds come straight from the heart. So what you put in there is where the work must start. Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Cause what you keep inside is not gonna hide. So store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart.
probably thinking, it's not what you think you are, but what do you think you are? I'm thinking, oh. And we toiled over that line as to whether we should put it in this song, and we ended up just doing it and hoping that kids, as they grew up with these songs, would catch that concept. We couldn't find a better way that really explained exactly what we were trying to say. Obviously, there's lots of different ways you can explain this song to kids. I sometimes talk about how when you eat too much chocolate, it makes you sick, and they tend to like that one. And in terms of what they think, what they're watching on television, what they were reading, all those sorts of things, and how they affect what they're going to say and what they, you know, what they do. So that's Stir Up Good in Your Heart. We know that kids love to sing, and they love being part of such this great creative expression, which then reflects God. And we also know that the oral precedes the written. And for young children, music is a great way to get theological concepts into their heads. And also with the less able children as well. It's incredible how songs can really speak to them and they can remember these things. And there's obviously two parts of a song. We have the lyrics and we have the music, and of course then the interplay between the two. Obviously they have to sit nicely together in a way that works and a way that makes children want to sing them. Because it's very hard to get kids to sing something that they don't want to sing. So the music, this is the part that Keith was meant to be here for right now to talk about his music.
Well, we know where he is.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell him?
Okay. Yeah.
No, I can't. It's fine. He'll be back shortly, and we'll get him to tell him.
Yeah.
Okay. But Keith, he mostly writes. Now you're all intrigued as to where he would be. It's not that serious. It's just very funny. Keith would mostly write the melodies, and I would mostly write the lyrics, although sometimes, you know, he will have an influence on the words, and I'll have an influence on the melody. And some of the key ideas whenever writing the melodies would be to keep them very hooky, and by that we mean that it's just, there's like a main melodic refrain that's repetitive and that kids can catch on to. Keep them simple, and also in a way that they will want to sing it. Some of our songs are easier than others, so you can just judge for yourself, as I said before, as you're doing them. There's a song that I'd like to do, which is probably slight for the older kids. It's called Seed You Sow, and it's the parable of the sower. And it's the seventh song, so it's just actually the one before Store Up Good in Your Heart.
Ready?
Yes. Now, one of the things this book does not do is the third. No, it's fine. Sorry, I'm just talking to myself. Okay, this goes through the whole story. One of the things we try to do is get some of the stories and the gospels and put them to music. And this is a young girl singing. You must listen to her because she's an awesome singer. Other actions that you can do in the verses. I haven't actually yet done those, but you can make them up as you go along or suggest the suggestions of those. But that's a very easy one for the seed you sow. And it's great if you're going to be teaching that song. Maybe I'll put it back up again for the last chorus. You want to start playing?
Seed you sow like a seed you sow.
sing. And when it comes to the lyrics, the challenge, I suppose, is to make something as kid-friendly as possible without in any way falsifying the truth or deliberately leaving things out. I think in kids' songs we can deliberately be teaching even more, be slightly more didactic and telling the stories and telling kids even how to behave than just simple praise songs. It's a wonderful opportunity to do that. I have heard some stories of how kids have taken lyrics, a bit like my I Exalt Thee, have taken lyrics and not really quite understood them. There's a story of a little girl who had a cuddly teddy bear that had two little eyes at the front and one eye was slightly cross-eyed. And she didn't know what to call this bear. And one day she was at church and she heard all the adults singing Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear, and so decided to call him Gladly. Another interesting one. When my dad was a little boy, he was telling me, he sang a song that had the words, "All the children in the district who are born in sin." Have you ever heard that line before? That's probably not what we're trying to say, although that's obviously true, but I'm wondering how clear that is to little kids, "All the children born in the district who are born in sin." When my mum was a little girl, the song that she had to sing in Sunday school was, "I Must Die as I Am." Have you ever heard of that? She was totally confused because she thought it was about a person called Diane Siam and couldn't understand who Diane was and why they were singing. And my dad also had problems when he was younger at wondering what an up yonder was, as in up yonder. He wasn't finding it very hard. But we try to use Bible verses and Bible stories. And there have been lots of kids' songs which are sort of fun songs and praise worship songs. And there have been lots of songs which have Bible verses set to music. And they're great. One of the things that we've tried to do is take Bible verses, take Bible stories, and actually explain what they mean in some sort of relevant way for children. So not just singing the verses, but trying to understand them. And one such story song is actually Keith's favorite song, so he came just in time. It's Little Zach. We're just going to have a blast of this. This is Keith. What's Little Zach like? Yeah, big band. And what do you call the artist that you thought of? Leroy Brown? That was Anyway, this is Little Zach.
Number 9.
This tells the story of Zacchaeus. Sorry, or Zacchaeus, depending on where you're from. So all you jazzers in here.
Hiding up in a sycamore tree. Little Zach, come down here, little Zach. Jesus is coming to your house for tea. Jesus is coming for tea. He was never the same the day that Jesus came. No one could deny there was a change in his life. Then he sang a new song, 'cause his heart belonged to Jesus. He was following Jesus. Little Zach, where are you, little Zach?
That's the basic idea. That gives you an idea. And we have tea at about 6 o'clock in Britain. That's dinner. That's why it says tea, not just the cup of tea. I suppose that would work as well. So we're trying to write songs.
Coming for iced tea.
There we go. With sugar. With sugar. Isn't that right? With sugar. Iced tea with sugar. Yeah. Yes, and we're going to get to some motions in a while. Just want to. There's a couple, one more song I want to do. It's before that, I wanted just to mention something that C.S. Lewis had said about writing for children. And he says that rather than asking, what do modern children like or need, he asked, what moral do I need? Which I think is very, very interesting. I worried a lot as a little girl, and I still worry quite a bit. I used to be a little scared of the dark, and I'm still sometimes, if I'm honest, a little scared of being in the dark. Big dogs still make me nervous, as the stands will know, because they had two of them when I went there the other night. And I still sometimes wonder, you know, if God loves me, if he cares for me, does he really have a plan for my life? Some of these real simple things are just as important when you get older. And we tried to write about those whenever you're younger. And it's interesting that growing up, my mum always used to listen to kids' songs in the car because somehow those simple truths really engaged with her. Once a Day, One a Day is called Once Upon a Boat, which is number 11, so it'll be two further on from Little Zach. Sorry, there's no page numbers in this book. And this is a story on Jesus' power in calming the storm, which is good to remember when you're scared of the dark. So it goes.
Once upon a boat, Jesus went to sleep, but soon a storm had filled the sky and waves began to leap. Once upon a boat, though Jesus was on board, his friends became so terrified as stormy waters roared. Once upon a boat, Jesus took control, and we can trust he'll be with us wherever the wind will blow. Once upon a boat, a miracle at sea, for he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me.
Okay, so as you know it, please join in. Verse 2, Once Upon a Boat.
Once upon a boat, Jesus woke surprised to see the looks of frightened friends and hear their panic cry. Once upon a boat, he did not wake too late. Do not be afraid, he said, you all need some more faith. Once upon a boat, Jesus took control. We can trust he'll be with us wherever the wind will blow. Once upon a boat, a miracle at sea, for he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me.
Verse 3.
Once upon a boat, he stood to face the waves. With just a word, he calmed the storm and turned up all the reins. Once upon a boat, his friends were all relieved and so amazed at Jesus' power and helped them to believe. Once upon a boat, Jesus took control, and we can trust he'll be with us wherever the wind will blow. Once upon a boat, a miracle at sea, for he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me. Once upon a boat, Jesus took control, and we can trust he'll be with us wherever the wind will blow. Once upon a boat, a miracle at sea, for he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me. For he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me. For he's the Lord of sea and sky and Lord of you and me.
There we go. It's a good fun song, a way of remembering it. So again, some of our songs are easier lyrically as well than others, so it's just, you know, you've got to decide on that. But a couple of thoughts. One is I think that whenever we do the songs, it's important to also teach the story or teach the verse around it, actually explain what it means. Because even a very simple song like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know would need to be explained. Who on earth is Jesus? What does love mean and why does he love me? So it's important to sort of ground these songs in actually the Bible teaching. And the other thing I wanted to say was I loved Narnia stories whenever I was younger. And I think I actually love them more now that I'm older. And it's not that we leave things behind like a train going from one station to the next, but rather we grow, as Lewis writes, a tree grows because it adds rings. So we don't want to add rings. That's quite ironic. Yes, there we go. We don't want to confuse, but aim to try and make every ring healthy, helping to build a good foundation that kids can add to. And maybe stretch them with words as they would do in school. How many lessons do we go to and there's a handful of words we don't fully understand? It's part of our learning. So in this Songs That Jesus Said project, it's the most recent thing we've done. And the intention behind it is to provide kids with a big picture of the Bible. This particular one is of the Gospels. We later would like to do one on the Psalms, one on which we want to call Songs of Promise, looking at the Old Testament Bible stories, and one called Songs of the Church, looking at some of the letters. Try and create sort of a big picture of the Bible, who God is, what faith is for children. So in this particular one, we have 20 songs. We divided it into five little chapters, as you can see from the front of your books. And the first one was meeting Jesus. The second one was things that Jesus taught. Then friends that Jesus has. That includes little Zach and Once Upon a Boat. Following Jesus, how we might follow him. And then Jesus' big plan, which has bits in heaven. The crucifixion, the resurrection, and then the Great Commission. So to give kids this full picture. I've got a few more songs I would love to do with you. And we'll just go through some of them. One is Two Little Houses, which is in the section Things That Jesus Taught. So it's the fifth song in. I just want to go over the actions with everybody. This is an action song. All of them can potentially have actions, but this is one particularly I like to teach you. And you've got to pretend that we have two little houses. So you put your hands up here. If you don't want to do this, please don't feel under pressure too. This is for all who like doing, like me. Two little houses in the sun, okay? Now one of them is obviously weak. This is the story of them, the wise and foolish builders, of course. One of the houses is a little bit weak, so it's sort of a little limp here. And the other house is really strong, like this. It's like a rock, okay? So two little houses in the sun. One was weak and one was strong. Then one was built on sandy tops and the other was built on solid rock. And I had to come here. If you've got rings, you've got to be careful that you don't hurt yourself. Built on solid rock. And then the rain came tumbling down and the wind came billowing round. And the house on the rock stood tall and grand, but the house built on the sand, and this is the fun part for kids, crashed to the ground, okay? And the next verse is, life can be like a house in the sun. So we're going to do a big sun. Life can be like a house in the sun. But what will you do when the gray clouds come? So cover it over like the gray clouds come. I've nearly forgotten the words. You need to remember the truth you've heard, and to build on the rock of Jesus' word. Okay, and then the rain came tumbling down, the wind came billowing round, and the house crashed. Okay, two little houses. Let's go. You got the number?
It's five, right?
Yep. So we need to get our two houses up. It's a bit funny doing this with adults.
Two little houses in the sun. One was weak and one was strong. One was built on sandy tops and the other was built on solid rock. And the rain came tumbling down and the wind came billowing round. And the house on the rock stood tall and grand, but the house built on the sand crashed to the ground.
Okay? So life can be like a house in the sun. This is just our big sun.
Life can be like a house in the sun, but what will you do when the gray clouds come? You need to remember the truth you've heard, and to build on the rock of Jesus' word. And the rain came tumbling down, and the wind came billowing round, and the house on the rock stood tall and grand, but the house built on the sand crashed to the ground.
You find that a lot of kids will probably just wait for that moment. They stand there waiting for it. And it was quite fun. Keep it up there. There's a big sort of, oh, into the next chorus. So we get the kids through this here.
Oh, and the rain came tumbling down. And the wind came billowing round. And the house on the rock stood tall and grand. But the house built on the sand crashed to the ground.
Then we have a crash.
It crashed to the ground.
And one more time.
It crashed to the ground.
There we go. Okay, another one with actions is Stop and Think, which is actually the next song. And what I would really do with this song is actually tell the kids the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and what that means in terms of caring and serving other people. And what we would do is we try and find ways that we would do that. Obviously today we may not wash people's feet, but perhaps we would help pick up the toys, perhaps we would help with the dishes, tidying our bedrooms. And what we do is one of the motions, which is the very end of the song, is when it says, you must be a servant to all. We get the kids actually to mime doing something that would show them helping someone else. So they would pick up their toys, or maybe wash the dishes. And if they can't think of anything, then they can pretend to wash the feet to remind them of the story of Jesus. So the way the motions go, it goes stop and think. Don't be so fast. If you want to be first and you go to the back of the line, you must be last, like this. Then it's upside down and hard to do. That's the favorite part because the kids are really like this, hard to do. But you should put others first before you. And if you want to be great, and if you want to be tall and only jump up in the air, then you must be a servant to all. So I'll wash dishes or I'll wash feet or something like that. And the real fun aspect of this song is that it goes through four times, but it gets faster. So that's
the tempo marking is one you don't often see.
What does it say? Swing feel getting gradually set. Lots of imagination needed in children's music. There we go. Okay, stop and think. If you want to stand up and actually just move to the left, you guys move to the left, and we're all right? Okay, so it goes like this. Stop and think, don't speak so fast. If you want to be first, you must be last. It's upside down and hard to do, but you should put others first before you. If you want to be great, if you want to be tall, you must be a servant to all. If you want to be great, if you want to be tall, you must be a servant to all. Or whatever you would do to help rent the house or help anybody. Okay, stop and think. Stop and think, don't be so fast. If you wanna be first, you must be last. It's upside down and hard to do, but you should put others first before you. If you wanna be great, if you wanna be tall, you must be a servant to all. If you wanna be great, if you wanna be tall, you must be a servant to all. Yeah, whatever. Okay, stop and think. Stop and think, don't be so fast. If you wanna be first, you must be last. It's upside down and hard to do, but you should put others first before you. If you wanna be great, if you wanna be tall, you must be a servant to all. If you wanna be great, if you wanna be tall, you must be a servant to all. Okay, one last time. This is the fact that goes, it always disappoints kids because it doesn't go faster. Stop and think, don't be so fast. If you wanna be first, you must be last. It's upside down and hard to do, but you should put others first before you. If you wanna be great, if you wanna be tall, you must be a servant to all. If you want to be great, if you want to be tall, you must be a servant to all. There we go. Please have a seat. I actually asked one kid just last night at a church here, you know, what would you do to help? And he said, well, I think I should just jump out the window. That would help my mom. I thought, okay, moving quickly on. Okay, another song. Let's do You're the Shepherd, and we'll do it just with the piano. This is a slightly sweeter song. We do have a few of these sort of sweet lullaby-ish songs. And this is number 16, so it's close to the end. This is a great one because in terms of the metaphor, Jesus as a shepherd, because kids really can understand what that means, a shepherd, and we're the sheep, and the shepherd, we follow him, we know his voice, it's instantly understandable. It's also a very comforting song for kids as well, because I find that one of the things that kids most worry about is being scared and being alone, that they continually, it's a huge deal. This is a song of comfort for them. And probably for us too, because we're the same, is that right? Okay, I'll sing through the first part of it for you, and then we'll sing it together.
shepherd, I belong to you. When I walk on rough ground, you can guide me through. You know my name, you
do it, but let's just do that first part. You're the shepherd. Let's sing it together. Softer songs as well. There's one that is Father in Heaven, which teaches kids the Lord's Prayer. Also, the Let the Little Children Come, which is that favorite part when Jesus said, Let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. One of the other little aspects I want to talk to you about was just the song Underneath the Shining Star, which is in the first section. We're not going to... Oh, do you want to sing it? Because I want to do one more after this, so we're out of time. Underneath the Shining Star. One of the things that I've been involved in doing is community musicals. We've done a couple of them. And this one, as the title would suggest, is a Christmas one. And basically, we wrote a script and 10 songs for a little musical called Underneath the Shining Star, which told the story of a traveler on a search for a king, where he might go, who he might ask, and ultimately finding the king underneath the shining star where God had marked the spot. That was the key idea. So it's an hour-long production, you know, with the whole costumes, the guidelines for the directors, and all the script, the whole, you know, the whole nine yards. But there's also a 30-minute little production, which is half of the songs, and then it has a more, you know, readers are speaking, and there's poem and different things like that as part of it. One that we worked on most recently was called, I've forgotten the name, Once Upon an Eastern Sunrise, which went through some of the ideas in the book of John, so looking at it as the bread of life and the living water, but all set around a little village where people were all talking about who Jesus was and that particular idea. That's just one thing I just wanted to mention in passing that we've been involved and want to do more of with. There's one more song. Is there time? Has anyone got any questions, by the way?
Questions could be answered at the book table afterwards.
Okay. So you're not allowed to ask any questions until afterwards. Okay, no problem. I just wanted to finish with saying that one thing that we in telling the kids, we're trying to ingrain in them the need for them to go out and tell other people as well what they're learning about Jesus. And one of the most inspirational psalms that I find in terms of what we're doing is in Psalm 78, when it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. It's a great calling for us as we write these songs, these children, passing on to the next generation the great truths that we've come to know. So on that note, we'd like to finish with a song called I'm Ready to Go. Because it just works on so many levels. It's actually the last song in your book, and it's in the Great Commission. So that'll be song 20.
You can't play this one.
Pardon?
Keith isn't able to play this one.
Okay. In the chorus, we have these actions, which goes like this. I'm ready to go. This is a big, hard go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to show the world I'm yours. With every step I take, a little step, let them know. So this, getting a taste of what the music will be like. And then I'm ready to walk, so we go for a little walk. Then I'm ready to talk. And I'm ready to lock into my heart everything you said, my rock. Okay? So don't worry too much about the verses. And we'll just sing the choruses together. So let's stand. You might need your book, I don't know. Don't worry. Sounds like something the monkeys would have done, doesn't it? Very appropriate for little kids, eh? Okay.
God said, go into the world and tell them about me. Help them learn like you have learned to always follow. I'm ready to go, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to show this world I'm yours. With every step I take, let them know. I'm ready to walk, I'm ready to talk, I'm ready to lock into my heart. God said, go into the world and tell them about me. Help them learn like you have learned to always follow me. And if that's what Jesus said, that's what I'll do. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to show you.
Very much for being in this class.
Join me. I'm going to pray for us and pray a blessing on Keith and Kristen here. We just thank you so much for your contribution to the life here at the seminary and making us think big thoughts about little people, and what they can do. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Lord God, we acknowledge you as great God, Creator, Redeemer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that you love the little children and that you want them to understand and to walk and to grow and to talk and to know your ways. We pray your rich, rich blessing on the ministry of Kristen and Keith as they minister your truth through the lives of little ones, that young girls and boys can grow to know you and to follow you and to trust you as Lord of their lives. We pray this all in the precious, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.